You could open your Bibles today, if you like, if you have your Bible with you, to the fourth chapter of Proverbs. I have been teaching from, actually these are the notes from which I taught, and then the book, The Key to Scriptural Healing, was edited. And I'm just using the notes to go over that. We talked about, first of all, roadblocks to healing. We covered six or seven roadblocks, the main ones that keep people from healing. And then secondly, we talked about discipline in the church. And today then we talk about God's recipe for life and health. Hallelujah. It's found here in Proverbs, the fourth chapter, the 20 through the 22nd verses. Let's read Proverbs 4, fourth chapter, 20th, 21st, 22nd verse. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now the two things that men strive for above everything else are life and health. And here, God has given us a recipe to obtain these. He tells us first that all life comes only through the Word. Now, the written Word is given to us to reveal unto us the living Word, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the living Word. You remember John's Gospel? If you have your Bible there, just open it to the Gospel according to St. John. The Gospel. And let's begin with the very first chapter, the very first verse, and read three verses here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now skip down to the 14th verse of that same first chapter of John's Gospel. And it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word of God. Hallelujah. The living Word of God. Now in John, the 10th chapter, in the 10th verse, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. Well, you'll notice in the text there in Proverbs, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from before thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart for their life. Their life to those that find them. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. See, that's the reason Jesus came, that man might have life. He didn't come to give man some new rules of living, by which if he would abide by these rules, he could climb the heavenly stairway to the glory world. No, that's not why he came. Jesus didn't come to give man a new code of conduct. He didn't come to bring him a system of teaching, whereby if he would teach, he could become in the end like God. Jesus came to bring life. He came that we might have life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Now our scripture here in Proverbs begins with these words, attend to my words. As I said, Jesus is the living Word. God has given us the written Word to unveil the living Word to us. Hallelujah. Now, not only are we to listen to Jesus and to look at Jesus, the living word, but this written word also unveils him to us. Particularly that's true as we read the epistles of the New Testament, the letters that are written to the church. You know, to tell you the real truth about it, no one could live in the four Gospels only and be a successful Christian. The four Gospels are just a history of the life and works of Jesus. His work, his sayings, his deeds. In the Gospels, we see Jesus dying. But you know, if we didn't go any further than the Gospels, we wouldn't even know why he died. Now see, you think you would because you've already read the epistles. But you wouldn't if you just read the four Gospels, you wouldn't know why Jesus died. Now don't think you're any smarter than the apostles were. They were right with him. They didn't know. Remember, even after he's resurrected, they said, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Didn't they? I said, didn't they? Amen. Certainly they did. Certainly they did. You see, they were still looking for an earthly kingdom and thought he would restore the kingdom to Israel. They were looking for an earthly king. You see, it's in the epistles, the letters that are written to the church, where we read what this living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, wrought for us. It's there where we read, "Him who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's in the epistles where we read, like Galatians 3:13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law." Now you see, if you didn't have that written in the epistles, you wouldn't even know what Christ redeemed you from. Or somebody said he redeemed us from sin. You know the Bible didn't say that. I said, did you know the Bible didn't say that? The Bible said he's redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. "Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Hallelujah. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. That's what we're redeemed from. What is the curse of the law? Only one way to find out. Go back to the law and read what it said the curse is. Number one, spiritual death. That's what we're redeemed from. Number two, poverty. Number three, sickness. Thank God. Then it's in the epistles where we read Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Hallelujah. "Through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so way back here in Proverbs, the writer, inspired by the Holy Ghost, said, "Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings." You see, if you want to walk in the fullness of life, then first of all, give God's word your undivided attention. Put from your mind everything else except God's word, and act upon God's word just for what it says. Now God has told us to incline thine ears unto my sayings. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. You see, we are to open our ears to God's sayings and close our ears to everything else. Now what a difference it makes when it comes to healing when you open your ears to God's sayings and close your ears to what everybody else said. I tell the story sometime about in the same meeting. Identically the same meeting that I was conducting. Not the same night, but during this three-week period of same meeting. Here was a man, a Baptist deacon, that brought his two boys. They had been to a certain outstanding medical clinic here in America. And their condition, these two young boys, their condition was pronounced by medical science incurable. Now here's a Baptist deacon that came and brought those boys. And so I said to him, well, you know, knowing he was Baptist, because see, I was born and raised Southern Baptist, began my ministry there. And they don't preach and teach divine healing, but I began to inquire. He's a Christian, and he is. And that's where I found out where he belonged. And he was a deacon. He's thoroughly born again, all right. Well, do you believe in divine healing? Yes, sir, I certainly do. And then, as he brought these young boys, I said, well, the Word of God, yes. He said, you know, he had his Bible with him right then. I've been sitting here listening to you. Not just that one night, but listening and following you in the Bible and marking the Scriptures and studying them. The doctors, you know, done their best. They pronounced these boys incurable. But I believe what God said. No such thing as an incurable condition with God. So we laid hands on the boys. They were healed. I went back over a year later. The man was a Sunday school teacher now in the Full Gospel Church. Baptized the Holy Ghost. Had the boys back to the same medical clinic. We couldn't find a trace of the condition that was incurable. Now in the same meeting, here came a lady that was full of gospel. Now that man is Baptist. They were Baptist folks. But one thing about the Baptists, they have an appreciation for the Word. They've been taught that. I was taught that. Here came a full gospel. In fact, this lady is a member of this very full gospel church in which I'm conducting the meetings. And as I questioned her, I found out she's saved, baptized the Holy Ghost, member of this full gospel church. Then inquired, well, she believed divinely. Well, yeah, she believed God could heal, all right. What's wrong with you? She'd been to the same world-renowned medical clinic that this Baptist man had taken his boys to. They'd pronounced the same thing concerning her. That is not the same disease, but her condition is incurable. And it won't just kill her tomorrow, but she can't think about living over another 3 or 4 years at the very best. Well, now she's full gospel, and so I just suppose, you know, that she's ready. I said, well, isn't it wonderful that you and I have inside information? I mean, inside the Bible, himself took our infirmities and bare sicknesses. Same scripture we gave to the Baptist man, he latched on to it. Yeah, she said, I've read all that. I know that's in there. But you know, the doctor said. Well, I said, I know. Thank God for the good doctor. He did his best. And he said, this is incurable. But the Bible said. Yeah, but she said, I don't think I'll be healed because the doctor said. Well, she certainly wasn't inclining her ears to what God said, was she? I said, was she? You say, did she get healed? Certainly not. Certainly not. Years after, I saw those boys after they became teenagers. They were still well. Hallelujah. According to medical science, they would have been dead several years before. She was. According to medical science, she should die. She did. But you see, some people said, well, that's just God's will. Now, he spared them and he took her on home. Well, I'm glad she went home to be with the Lord, but I don't believe that. I believe if she had inclined her ears to what God said, hallelujah, if she had attended to the words of God and inclined her ears to what God had to say about the thing, it would have been different for her. We are to listen to what God has to say. And then by believing what God has to say and accepting it, his word will work for us. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, Jesus said in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel, in the 17th verse, he was praying, you know, to the Father. And he said to the Father, thy word is truth. Then you remember in John's Gospel, the 8th chapter, in the 32nd verse, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. Set you free or make you free. It's translated both ways. Now, no man, no person, I should say, will ever know life, freedom, and truth without knowing God's Word. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, that has a twofold application. I said without knowing God's Word, remember. That has a twofold application because Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is called the Word of God. And so, of course, to be born again, you have to know Him personally, become personally acquainted with Him. You have to come to a personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is also necessary to know the written Word. Really, you can't know the living Word, Jesus, like you ought to know Him, without knowing the written Word. You can't really get acquainted with Him. Because He's everything the Word says He is. Can you say amen? Amen. Then I want you to notice something here. Turn with me here to the Second Peter. Second Peter. I want you to notice that Peter says in his second epistle, in the very first verse. Now, did you wear your shouting clothes today? Yes. Hallelujah. Whereby are given unto us, this is the fourth verse of the very first chapter of the second epistle of Peter. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's the Word of God, the written Word of God. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now you see, when you were born again, we read one scripture there where it said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. When you were born again, eternal life is the God kind of life. And that God kind of life is imparted to your spirit when you're born again. And you do have the life of God in you, but you don't have the abundance that God wants you to have without knowing the Word. So whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these exceeding great and precious promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's the nature of God, which is life. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So it is also necessary to know the written Word. You'll never know the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ in His fullness, without knowing the written Word. I was always greatly impressed with something that Smith Wigglesworth said. Smith Wigglesworth was one of the pioneers of the Pentecostal movement. An English preacher. And he said, many people try to understand God by feelings. You know, and they feel good. They think, well, God's for me. Glory to God. He's on my side. They feel bad. They said, well, I don't guess He's with me. I thought He was. And so they're up and down. But Wigglesworth said this, I cannot understand God. I cannot understand the Lord Jesus Christ by feelings. I understand God. I understand the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God. He's talking about the written Word of God. He's everything the Word says He is. And then Wigglesworth went on to say, get acquainted with God through the Word. Hallelujah. Get acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word. You know, though using different words, saying a little bit differently, yet that's what the writer of the Proverbs is really saying when you sum it up. Inspired by the Holy Ghost a long time ago, He said, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. The 22nd verse, He said, for they, my words, my sayings, are life unto those that find them. So what He's saying is, get acquainted with life. Hallelujah. Get acquainted with God through the Word. Then He went on to say, let my words not depart from thine eyes. In other words, we're to look as well as to listen. to keep our vision fixed on Jesus. He is the Word. Continue to feed upon this written Word, and Jesus, the living Word, will become more real to you every single day. But the less you feed upon the written Word of God and meditate upon it, the less real Jesus will become to you. And after a while, you begin to wonder, you know, begin to even doubt your experience. Keep feeding your spirit upon God's Word. Now, when it comes to healing, keep your vision fixed on Jesus. The Holy Spirit will always guide you and lead you in line with the Word. I remember a number of years ago, in my own personal experience, just before bedtime, I was troubled with physical symptoms of alarming proportions. And so I just simply knelt by my bedside to pray and to claim and appropriate God's promises of healing. Then I got into bed, but those symptoms got worse. Well, I continued to praise God for healing and finally managed to fall off to sleep. And almost immediately, you know, just dozed off, and almost immediately I was awakened with those symptoms. And finally I said, "Lord, I just don't know how much longer I can take this. You know, you can only suffer sometimes pain and certain things so long, you know." Well, I continued to praise God and dozed off to sleep again, wakened almost immediately the third time with serious symptoms. Then I heard in my spirit these words. We need to realize that God will speak to us by His Holy Spirit, and that His Spirit dwells in us. I heard these words, "Consider not, consider not." Then the scripture was given to me in the fourth chapter of Romans concerning Abraham, where the Word of God said, you know, that Abraham, before him whom he believed, even God who calleth those things which be not, as though they were. Immediately I began to rejoice because I knew the Word. See, I knew the Word said that Abraham considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. The scripture said there in Romans 4, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, believing that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I knew that Abraham had God's promise that Isaac would be born. In fact, God didn't say he was going to do it. God said, "I have made thee. I have made thee the father of many nations." And so you see, he sees, God, you know, sees the future better than we can know the past. Hallelujah. And he said, "I have made thee." He speaks as though it's already done, because in the sight of God, it is done. Praise the Lord. Abraham's physical senses told him that it was impossible for him to father a child at his age, being about 100 years old, and Sarah 90 years old. Yet it said he considered not. He considered not his own body. Now you see, my struggle was with appropriating healing, physical healing, in my body as alarming symptoms persisted. But I didn't pay any attention to my body. I got to the place I didn't pay any attention to my body. I rejoiced in the promise of God. Symptoms and pains persisted. However, I finally said, "Lord, I'm not considering my body. I'm just praising you." Hallelujah. Now then, as I praised God, I fell off to sleep the fourth time. and then was awakened almost immediately with alarming symptoms. And I heard in my spirit, see, I'd heard the words, consider not. And then I immediately in my mind went to the fourth chapter of Romans, because I know it said that Abraham considered not his own body. So then I heard these words, consider him. Hallelujah. See, God just don't tell you not to do something. He tells you what to do. Well, I knew again that this is in the Word. Consider him. The Bible said in Hebrews 3:1, consider him who is the apostle and the high priest of our profession, our confession, Christ Jesus. So at first I had the word that said, consider not. And I was considering not. But I wasn't considering him. Some think, you know, if I can just close my eyes, the problem will go away. If I can just not consider these problems, whether physical symptoms or perplexing problems, they'll just go away. But at the same time that the Bible tells you not to consider these things that are against you, it also tells you what to consider. Consider him. And when I began to consider him, consider Jesus, what does that mean? Well, I began to consider what the Word said about him. Remember, Wigglesworth said he's everything the Word says he is. I began to consider Matthew 8:17, himself, Jesus. How could you consider him without considering Matthew 8:17? Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I began to consider Isaiah 53:4. As it read in Dr. Isaac Lesser's translation, the literal Hebrew translation. Surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases, yet we did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted. You notice he said, let them, my words, not depart from before thine eyes. I began to look back and see God lay my sickness and my pains on him. You know, soon I fell into a deep sleep as I began to consider that and rested well. I wakened the next morning and all symptoms were gone. I believe that God's word will work for every one of us. If we'll do what the word says do. Amen. Now many would agree that God is interested in our spiritual life and our health. But I'm so glad that this scripture not only said that is, it reveals to us that he is interested in our spiritual life and our health, but it says, my words are life unto those that find them. And health, my words are health to all their flesh. The margin says medicine. You see, God is interested in our physical health as well as our spiritual health. But he's not only interested in it, thank God he tells us exactly how to get there. He's made provision for us. Well, man still continues the age-old search for remedies to bring health. Millions are spent every year. You ever stop thinking about how many millions are spent? Many have dedicated their lives to find the cure for certain diseases that take their toll upon humanity. I was thinking about, and we're not opposed to that. Don't misunderstand me at all. I'm just making an observation here. I was thinking about a couple of years ago, and I was watching about Labor Day, you know, Jerry Lewis telethon. Raising money for research and so on, certain areas. And he had some individuals on there that had a certain condition oh, I've forgotten how you pronounce it. But it's not EMS, but it's very similar. Myasthenia gravis. And so they had taken these individuals, a doctor there in San Francisco, you see, in the experiment, and removed all of their blood, put in some more blood, and some of them, it showed pictures of them when they were, they were bedfast. One lady particularly, she couldn't, you can't feed yourself. You can't, it'll work a whole lot like muscular MS, and so on. But now then she's up and around. They don't know how long it'll last. Now, as he had that, you see, and several millions were designated in this area. They need millions more to follow up on their experimenting. And that's all right. I'm not opposed to that. Don't misunderstand me at all. I'm using it as an illustration. But I thought about, here were three people they had, and I thought to myself, I can take you to five people that had the same thing, one of them just as bad off as any as they had there, and all five of them are well today by teaching them the Word of God and ministering to them. I remember a lady there in Dallas that I ministered to. Now, the doctors there told her, about this, and she said, well, of course, she and her husband were people of some means. And she could go to some specialist. They said, well, there is a doctor with the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, that's all he does anymore, just this particular. He specializes. And so she phoned there to see if she could get in. And they said, well, no, we've got a waiting list of, it'd be 6 months before we could ever even consider taking you. Well, now she was at the place she couldn't feed herself. You see, she'd start to her mouth with a fork and maybe throw the stuff across her shoulder, you see. So what they say to you is that you're going to go, if you can get around, you're going to a wheelchair, and you're going from the wheelchair to the bed, you're going from the bed to your grave. And so she just went on up there anyway and rented an apartment, stayed close by, and signed up with them and said, if somebody fails to show up, could you call me? Well, they had several more waiting that way, but eventually, within 30 days, they got to her. Now, just before she went, I had laid hands upon her, and the power of God come on, and she fell on the floor under the power of God. Some symptoms still persisted. But she's got her medical records from Dallas, and so when she went to this specialist, and they ran all the tests on her, the specialist called her in, and he said, well, you're the first person that I've ever seen that has had this disease and is cured. You no longer have it. The power of God had driven it out of her body. The woman's still alive. She's in our camp meeting here last year. Glory to God. And that was 6 or 7 years ago when she is healed. I was in Phoenix, Arizona, conducting a meeting. Well, actually, speaking Full Gospel Business, and then after Full Gospel Business Men's Convention, I was teaching. I had a series of teaching sessions there. But actually, this happened one afternoon during Full Gospel Business Men's meeting. I was teaching on the subject of faith. And I saw them bring a fellow in. Now, the man just absolutely could not walk by himself. And there was a fellow trying to help him, but his legs wouldn't work right, And finally, some of the ushers, they just got a hold of the fellow, and because the room where we were jam-packed, and they just picked him up and carried him down to the front and set him over to one side. Actually, he was to my left. Well, I recognized the man. Because I had some years before, see, this was over in the 60s. Actually, it was January of 1965. And in November of 1953, when I first preached in Phoenix, I had prayed with him, laid hands upon him, and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He built the first shopping center that was ever built in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, he had this physical, that maybe, but the thought crossed my mind, maybe he's been in an automobile accident, and all bunged up and just can't, his body won't work right, bruised and so on. I didn't really know because I hadn't seen. I learned later because he said to me that he went to the doctors there in Phoenix. Then they sent him over to Los Angeles, and the doctors there in Los Angeles said he had this myasthenia gravis. They said, well, you'll just go, to the wheelchair, and from the wheelchair to the bed, and from the bed to the grave. And he said, well, is anything, you know, is any body, you know, asbestos? This man was a man of some means. He had sold that shopping center for several million. And so they said, well, this doctor, you know, with the Mayo Clinic, he's the leading world-renowned specialist. He doesn't do anything else except treat those kind of cases. And so this man, he is a man of means. He just chartered him a jet. Just chartered the thing and had himself flown up there. And eventually got in. He told me personally, they told him the same thing. You know, the doctors there told him, said, we can't do a thing in the world. It's too far advanced. And it's just, in fact, there's no cure for it anyway. But sometime they can, by certain medication and so on, maybe slow down the process. And he said to him, really, you ought to be in a wheelchair right now. And you'll go from the wheelchair to the bed, and you'll go from the bed to your grave. So he came back home. About that time, I came along with these meetings for God Benjamin Convention. He got him to bring him out there, you see. Well, now I'm just preaching away, teaching the Word of God. And suddenly the Spirit of God inspired me to say, because see, Rita, this man can't walk under his own power. The Spirit of God inspired me, saying, I pointed to him and said, arise and walk, my brother, in the name of Jesus. He got off, walked off as good as you and I could. Now, on that, 5 years later, he's in one of my meetings, and then he was 70-some-odd years of age. And I had him to come to the platform to testify, and after he testified, instead of going down the steps, he jumped off of a high platform in an auditorium and ran down the aisle 5 years later, still here. I could produce five people healed of the same thing. I thought, dear Lord, if I had those millions, think about how I could get over to people. Amen. We could get over to folks where they could get. They don't know these people are not permanently healed. And they need to experiment some more. But thank God for the healing power of God. Amen. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God sent His Son into this world as a revelation of His will. And He called His Son His Word. Now the writer of Hebrews said, Hebrews, the very first chapter. Notice the first and second verses. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Jesus is God speaking to us. If you want to hear God, hear Jesus. One day Jesus approached a lonely leper who cried out, according to Matthew 8:3, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. And that man was healed. Hallelujah. Jesus is God speaking to us. And He said, I will. I will. Praise God. That man was healed. Now, so many have not been taught that it's possible for us today to be healed through the Word by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, they're not attending to His words along this line. They're not inclining their ears to His sayings along this line. But you see, go back and read that scripture again. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. If His words were life and health then, His words are life and health now. Now, isn't it strange that people would believe that by acting on the Word of God you could receive eternal life? That spiritual life is available but not health? And yet God said in His Word, my words, they are life, life unto those that find them, and they, my words, are health. Oh, hallelujah. To all their flesh. The margin says they're medicine. Best medicine I know of. Hallelujah. Medicine to all their flesh. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Their life. Their life. unto those that find them, their health to all their flesh. I first read those portions of Scripture, that portion of Scripture, on the bed of sickness. Nearly half a century ago. Well, I didn't understand it, but I believed it. Thank God you don't have to understand it. Just believe it. And thank God my flesh became healthy. Praise God forevermore. I was and am healed. Hallelujah. Now, if we follow the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, He is bound to lead us in line with the Word. If we start following the Word, because you see, the Word of God is Spirit anointed and Spirit guided, it will lead us in the same direction. For the Spirit, the Bible tells us, and the Word agree. Hallelujah. My son, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Notice what he said, keep them. What? My words? In the midst of thine heart. I can remember, I knew in my heart that I was healed before my body ever knew it or responded to it. I knew it. I didn't hear. You know, everything you get from God, you really receive in your spirit first, and then it shows up on the outside. That is, if you walk in the light of it. But now, when I was there on the bed of sickness, I began to not only say, I believe that I receive healing for the two serious organic heart troubles and the paralysis and the incurable blood disease. But then I begin to thank God because I knew it in here. Well, now, why did I know it in here? Because I knew the Word in here. I had put that Word into my spirit. How did I do it? By meditating upon it, by thinking upon it, by feeding upon it until it became a part of me. And so I knew in my heart, you see, your heart is your spirit. So a better way to say it was, I knew in my spirit that I was healed before my body ever knew it and ever responded to it. But when I knew that, see, keep them, what? Them, my words, in the midst of thine heart. Your heart's your spirit. For they are life. Oh, hallelujah unto those that find them. And health. They are, my words are, health to all of their flesh. Now, you know, if a man knows the Word, or a person knows the Word, he knows in his heart that he's saved even before there's any evidence of salvation. There's no outward evidence, but he knows in here because his spirit bears witness with our spirits. See how often we get fooled sometimes. I've seen people come to the altar, you know, and just bawl and squall, said God saved them, got up and hugged everybody in sight. I thought, you know, to myself before I learned, you know, man, that they really got a real experience. See, because they were emotionally moved. And the very next day I had to, because that's the only way I could go to get to where I was going, drive down what we call to call rat row, you know, skid row, rat row, you know, in our town. And I saw this fellow go into a dark dive. In fact, he never did come to church anymore. Never got a thing. Remember in the early days, one church I was pastoring, a fellow came to the altar and I thought to myself, no emotion out of the fellow. Didn't say anything out loud, really. It seemed to be the least. Most, you know, I couldn't see a tear in his eye or anything. He didn't sort of wipe his face, but I'd stand right by him and didn't see anything. And he just said, I thank God because I'm saved. And I wouldn't have heard it if I hadn't been standing right beside him. I was the only person who heard it, I guess. And he walked away. And in my immaturity back there then, I thought, well, dear Lord, that poor fellow, he wasn't down there 10 seconds in the altar on his knees. Just got up, you know, walked off. I said, he didn't get anything. He became the most solid Christian I had in my church. It showed up on the outside. He got it on the inside. He knew it was in there. It's reading. He said it. Hallelujah. And he became the most solid Christian in my church. And then over a period of 40 years, he's gone to be with the Lord now, a period of 45 or 50 years, I mean that man was never wavered. It did show up on the outside, but he knew he had it on the inside all the time. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You see, he had God's word for it, and he accepted that word in his heart. And that's what causes, when you accept God's word in your heart and believe it, that's what causes the evidences then of salvation, what we call salvation, to come forth. Believing in your heart. Hallelujah. You know, so many people have the cart before the horse. You know what I mean by that expression? Cart before the horse. They want to have some kind of a feeling. They want to have some kind of evidence. And then they'll know that they're saved. Or they want to have some kind of a feeling or some kind of evidence and all the symptoms disappear. Then they'll know they're healed. But it starts on the inside of you. Salvation starts on the inside of you. The new birth starts on the inside of you, because that's what it is. It's a rebirth of the human spirit. Healing starts on the inside of you. Don't start out here where you're hurting. Are you listening to me? Now notice what this scripture said. It tells you it's so. It tells you it's so. Notice what the scripture said. Keep them what? My words, where? In the midst of thine heart. Hallelujah. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. In the midst of thine heart or your spirit. Keep them. As you believe that word in your heart and keep it in your heart, it will cause this life to spring up. And if you feed upon the word, then it will feed upon that life or that nature of God that's in you, so that you can enjoy and walk, as the scripture said, in the light of life. Now the same thing's true concerning physical healing. Like I said, I knew in my innermost being, my heart, my spirit, that I was healed. And I praised God for that healing. My heart, physical heart. See, when I talk about heart, when he talked about heart here, he's talking about your midst of thine heart. He's talking about your spirit or your inner man. Now, my physical, the organ here, still didn't beat right. My body was still partially paralyzed. But he said, thy words, my words, keep them in the midst of thine heart. And in the midst of my heart, I kept that word. Hallelujah. It starts in your heart. Amen. Now, let's notice what the Bible said concerning salvation. You're familiar with this, but let's look at it a little more depth. Romans, the 10th chapter, 9th and 10th verses. I said it starts in your heart. Now, notice. Romans, 10th chapter, 9th and 10th verses. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe, where? Where? In thine heart, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now notice the next verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, this life comes first into your heart. It's a mistake to start looking at your body to see if you're healed. Look on the inside of you. I said, look on the inside of you. It starts in your heart, in your spirit. God heals you through your spirit. God is a spirit, the Bible said. God can only contact us through our spirits. Remember Proverbs 20, 27? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. What's the candle of the Lord? The margin says the lamp. The spirit of man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord. He's going to use your own spirit to enlighten you. How does he enlighten your spirit? The psalmist said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Hallelujah. My son, that means daughter too, you know. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and health, my words are health to all their flesh. So let me say it again. It starts in your heart, in your spirit. God heals you through your spirit. God is a spirit, the Bible said. Jesus said that. God can only contact us through our spirits. We can only contact God through our spirits. You can't contact God with your body. You can't walk up to God like I do this man, shake hands with him physically and contact him. Can you? You can't contact God with your mind. He is not a mind. He's a spirit, Jesus said, didn't he? To the woman at the well of Samaria in the 4th chapter of John's Gospel. For God is a spirit. He's not a mind. And he's not a body. He's a spirit. I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. But I'm a spirit. Because I'm an offspring of God. God said, let us make man in our own image. And after our own likeness. Amen. Now Jesus said, so we can only contact God through our spirits. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, remember when he was here on earth, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now we can make contact with God through the Word. For God is the Word. Thank God this book is a God-breathed, God-inspired, God-indwelt message. He said, keep them. Keep them. Keep these God-inspired words. Keep these God-indwelt words. Where? In your heart. In the midst of thine heart. What will they do for you? Their life. Their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. I'm reminded again in connection with this, and turn with me to Luke's gospel real quickly, and let's read again. I think we'll even see it more clearly than we have before. We read these verses many times, but we'll see them in a different light. Remember, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. Back here, the writer of Proverbs said that his words are not only life to us, but health to all of our flesh. Now then, no wonder, here in Luke 5, we read about the multitudes that came. Look at this 15th verse, to hear Jesus. Remember this, the words that I speak unto you, their spirit, their life. Luke 5:15. But so much the more went there fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together. To what? To what? To what? To hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Now turn one page according to how big your Bible is, you know, of course, or Testament. Turn to the 6th chapter, and let's look again at the 6th chapter, the 17th verse. Then he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came for what purpose?
Hear.
What?
Hear.
To hear him. And to be healed of their diseases. Now, this plainly lets us know that them being healed had something to do with them hearing, doesn't it? Or vice versa. Them hearing had something to do with them being healed, doesn't it? I said, doesn't it? In other words, it connects hearing and healing together. Now, actually, I read it, you know, we read over verses. We read it, but it didn't register on us. And I'd preached divine healing for years. After we started healing school here, I remember on the inside of me, something kept saying, hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Just saying it over and over, over several days. And I just asked myself, see, I didn't know these verses were in there. I'd read them. I'd read the New Testament in my stupidity, bless us. You know, if we're not careful, sort of prided ourselves. I don't do that anymore. Of having read the New Testament through 150 times and portions of it more than that. And didn't even know those in here and be healed in there. And something on the inside of me and my spirit kept saying, it was the Holy Ghost, of course, kept saying, hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Well, I thought to myself, after about 3 days of that, you know, a fellow dumb as I am, I'll catch on something after 3 days, you know. I know what I'll do because I'm real busy. I'll just look in the concordance. So I got the Cruden's concordance now and see if there's anything there about hearing and being healed in here. And sure enough, there was. Spirit of God never wrong, is he? I said, is he? And sure enough, there was. Here it is, right here. Hear and be healed. Now you can understand. In one sense of the word, you could go back to Proverbs 4 and read the 20th through the 22nd verse and just sum it up in these words, hear and be healed. Couldn't you? I said, couldn't you? Hear and be healed. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear in that hearing unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, my words, are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Hallelujah. Hear and be healed. Now, look at the 107th Psalm 20th verse. See, his word will heal you. His word will heal you. Now, why? Well, now, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, as you well know. You can look at your King James. My King James translation has a little number there by the word health to all their flesh, and over in the margin, as I look at that number in the margin, it said H-E-B. That means Hebrew said medicine. It's the Hebrew word for medicine. My words are medicine. Medicine to all their flesh. His word will heal you. His word will heal you. Now look at the 107th Psalm, 20th verse. He sent his word. He sent his word. He sent his word. And did what? Now see, there's the word and healing again, joined together, aren't they? He sent his word and healed them. There's the word and healing. Amen. You see, the word in the Old Testament was sent through the prophets. The New Testament is the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have the living word abiding in me, living in me. Colossians 1:27 said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. The more I feed upon this written word, the more that living word becomes real to me. The more I learn to how to appropriate what he did for me, the more I learn how to appropriate what he is in me, it becomes more real to me. Now, he's there all the time. You see, you have the healer in you. Hallelujah. He sent his word and healed them. You have the healer in you. Say it out loud, the healer is in me.
The healer is in me.
Consider him. Consider him. Consider him. He is there. Believe he is there. Believe he is working in you. What is he doing in you anyhow? See? He's in you, Christ in you. Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory. Christ is the living word. He's in you. Well, now, what is he doing in you? I said, what's he doing in you? Does anybody know?
Healing me.
Bible said, for it is God, or Christ, in you, both to will and to do his own good pleasure. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, stand up, everybody. Why don't you just stand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 That was Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his own good pleasure. So believe he's working in you. He is the healer. Now just shut your eyes and lift your hand up toward heaven. Say it out loud because you know and believe it. Christ is the living word.
Christ is the living word.
He is the healer.
He is the healer.
It is written in the written word.
He sent his word.
And healed them. Christ. The healer.
The healer.
The living word.
The living word.
According to Colossians.
Is in me.
The healer is in me.
The healer is in me.
He is in me.
He's working in me.
I believe he's in me.
I believe he's in me.
Both to will and to do.
Of his own good pleasure.
I have the healer in me.
I consider him.
He is there.
I believe he's there.
I believe he's working in me.
He is healing me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It starts in your spirit. See, it started. It started. Now let it keep working. It started. How do you keep it working? By keep meditating upon the Word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And it'll work out of your spirit into your body. And your body will soon begin to respond. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.